Good morning, everybody. Beautiful day for a sports day. Sun is shining. That'll be later. All right, let's pray and then we'll look at this passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for this book of Philippians. We pray today that as we look at this passage, that we'll be able to place our confidence more and more in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You've heard of the NDIS, National Disability Insurance Scheme. Provides funding to eligible people to improve quality of life. What about the NCIS? National Christian Insurance Scheme. Okay, I made it up, but anyway, just pretend it's a good idea anyway. National Christian Insurance Scheme. It provides support to believers to live the Christian life. Well, now, for the NCIS to work, we must have confidence. When facing life's challenges, we've got to have confidence. Now, we say confidence. When I say confidence, it means to rely on someone or something. Confidence, that's what it means. And life's challenges include breakups, relationships, finding a relationship, job losses, short on money. Other life's challenges can include grief, health concerns, fear of failing, fear of not passing an exam that you really want to pass. Life's challenges. Where do we put our confidence? Now, I recognise that it's a really easy question to ask, but it's not always an easy answer to give. We live in a frazzled world, and so we'll say something like, oh, look, I put my confidence here, or I do put my confidence here and there, but then under stress, we put our confidence elsewhere. Now, so confidence is a necessary topic to explore, and I have two parts to the sermon. The first part is going to be, the answer is going to be no. Heads up, the answer is going to be no. And the second part, the answer is going to be yes. Okay. So we'll start with the no's. I have five no's. So the big question, when facing challenges that we all face in life, when life is out of control, I realise that I am a sinner, I'm not perfect. Where should I put my confidence? Should I put it within myself to solve the problems? My inner self. Now, we live in a society that is all about having self-confidence to make things happen, to motivate myself, self-confidence to solve my problems. So if there's an obstacle in life, I have the confidence to get around the obstacle. There's no need to pray. I have the self-confidence to work it all out. If I am a sinner, I have the confidence, the self-confidence to make it right by what I do. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with levels of self-confidence. So much of life requires self-confidence. So, such as a job interview or asking someone out on a date or travelling around the world. So much of life requires a level of self-confidence. But the problem is when you have too much self-confidence, it can lead to self-righteousness. Paul, in verse 9 today, he says, being a Christian is not about having a righteousness of my own. So much of Australia, it's about having a righteousness of my own. But not having a righteousness of my own, if it's not about having a righteousness of my own, that tells me I should put my confidence elsewhere. Okay, let's continue. So when facing challenges, life's out of control, I realise I'm a sinner, where should I put my confidence? Some people put it in their scars or the marks on the body, cuts and bruises on the body. So I've lived my life, roll up my sleeve, look at the scars, or look in the mirror, look at the lines on my face, I have lived. Or a politician, you know, hit by an assassin's bullet. Look at the scar on my ear. My scars prove that I am worthy. Well, the big one today, war. War is an assumption. There's an assumption that if there's a God, and then I have served in the military during wartime, that look at my war scars, I'm going to heaven. Confidence is in the scars. Or in Paul's day, it was circumcision scars. In fact, it got so bad, in verse 2, he called these guys dogs, rottweilers, pit bulls, vicious, malicious, mutilators of the flesh, of the skin. They will take their knives and slice the skin of the baby boys. Vicious. So he called them dogs. They put their confidence in their scars. When life's out of control, I'm a sinner. Where's my confidence? You know, I used to go to a church here in Sydney, and it was a good church, taught the Bible, but there was a family in the church that they got all their boys circumcised, their baby boys circumcised, just in case God required it for salvation. So you could see, yeah, people in the church would say, no, you don't need to do that. We have Jesus. But they got their boys circumcised just in case. You can see how they're putting confidence in circumcision, in the scars, the cuts, the skin of the flesh on the body. Or on TV, every year about Easter time, there's this Roman Catholic sect. You might see it on TV. Every Easter, Good Friday, they will make whips. And then they will whip themselves, walk through the town in the, I don't know whereabouts, in the Philippines, but it's in the Philippines, and they would whip themselves until they were scarred and bloody and all those things. They would put confidence in their scars before God. So where do we put our confidence? Well, we know the answer to that one is don't do that. So Paul, he's the author, he's the apostle, he's in Rome, he's in prison, he's the author to this letter to the Christians in Philippi, about 1,000 km away in Rome, from Rome where he was. And in this passage, you might have picked up, he's talking about confidence, particularly no confidence in the flesh. And so we're going to start with no confidence in the flesh. We'll go to the third one. When facing challenges, life feels out of control, and we all have that. We realize I am a sinner. I'm not perfect. Where should I put my confidence? Status? Pecking order? Top of the pops in society? Should I put it there? You know, in Paul's day, the top of the pops, the elite, were the religious elite. In our day, it's the secular elite. So secular just means you push the religion out of the way. And so today, secular elite is, you know, a very important job, or celebrity status, you know, job status or celebrity status or sporting status. That was secular elite. But in Paul's day, it was the religious elite. They were the top of the pecking order. And at the top of the top was Paul. Passage we read of his status. He was circumcised on the eighth day. So back in then, getting circumcised, they were commanded, I think in the book of Leviticus, commanded for all the baby boys to be circumcised on the eighth day of after they were born. Now, because of the competition to get the priest at that time in the temple, it's very hard to get circumcised on the eighth day. But Paul, he got circumcised on the eighth day, top of the league. He was part of the people of Israel, God's chosen people. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. These were the impressive people with the impressive abilities. They were the outliers of society, the tribe of Benjamin, the privileged tribe in Israel. He said he's Hebrew of Hebrews. That's like being an Aussie of Aussies. You could trace your heritage back to the convicts. You're an Aussie of Aussies. Or in regard to the law, he said, a Pharisee. The best, no one could surpass his religious effort. As for zeal, a fanatic. It's like an Olympian striving for gold at the games. Fanatical, fervor, fanatical. Persecuting the church. He would put the Communist Party in China to shame. Persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, self-confidence through the roof. Paul was the top of the religious elite. He was the best. If anyone had reason to put confidence in their status, it was Paul. But what does he say? We read it. He says it's garbage compared to knowing Jesus. He said it's rubbish. He said it's total loss compared to gaining Christ. Compared to knowing Jesus. And so, when facing challenges, life's out of control, I realise I'm a sinner. Where should I put my confidence? It cannot be that I'm at the top. I'm the best at what I do. If there's an elite in the church, that's where I'm at. Or society. That, we cannot put our confidence there. Or again, when facing challenge, where should we put our confidence? We go to the fourth one, stuff. The surpassing worth of stuff. The problem with Sydney is we put the surpassing worth of stuff above Jesus, don't we? So owning real estate in the eastern suburbs, or owning real estate in Strathfield, places like that, or driving a Tesla, stuff. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with stuff. We give thanks for what we have, don't we? You know, given by God, we give thanks. But compared to Jesus, we don't put our confidence in our stuff because it doesn't last. And so that's why Paul says, so turn into your Bibles and you'll see verse 8. Paul says these words in verse 8. He says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus, my Lord. And so, of course, we know there's nothing wrong with owning things. There's nothing wrong with enjoying what God gives us. But as Christians, we remind ourselves not to put our confidence in the stuff we own. So many of you, you have parents who really, really want you to do well in life, want you to be successful, own lots of money, real estate. That's a good thing. But compared to knowing Jesus, it's garbage. Got to make that mistake. You say to your parents, you know, thank you, Mum and Dad, for helping me to do really well at school, and I'm trying my best, and I know it's very valuable, but Mum and Dad, if I have to choose between Jesus and the stuff of this world, I'm going to choose Jesus because he's surpassing worth. That's what you've got to say. That's what we've all got to say. It's really hard. but it's true. Stuff. We don't put a confidence. Yes, society around us does, and we feel the temptation, absolutely. We give thanks for what we have, but we don't place our confidence in the stuff that we own. What about shape? Some of you are very shapely. Well, you're going to be shapely, yeah? Shapely is good, okay? But we don't put our confidence there. Eventually, you're going to get old. The sand in the hourglass is going to shift, going to lose the shape. It happens. Social media is filled with shape. Or in other words, health and youth and beauty. It's a gift from God, absolutely. But the reality is, it's going to perish, isn't it? It's going to pass. It's going to die. And so we've got to be people who put our confidence in something else, put our confidence in something that overcomes the limits of health and beauty as good as they are. Put our confidence in something that overcomes the worst of enemies that we have, which is death. And that is Jesus, the power of his resurrection. That overcomes death. You know, as a pastor, over the years, here's what I've heard at the door every now and then, not here, but in other churches, somebody within the congregation would come, I remember it well, they'll say something like, and I can understand what they're saying, I'm not criticising, I'm not doing anything like this, but I'm just saying, here's what I would hear. People would say, you know, if you've got your health, you've got everything. But the Christian, we should say, if you've got Jesus, you've got everything. So we might say, if you've got your health, you've got lots of good things. Absolutely. Okay, we'll say that. But we'll say, Jesus, if you've got Jesus, you've got everything. Put our confidence in Jesus, in the power of his resurrection. So there's your, put your confidence. So the passage today is all about not putting your confidence in the flesh. And we can see how easily it is done today. We can see in many ways there's nothing wrong with any of this stuff. Self-confidence, we need a level of it. Scars, it's a part of life. Live your life, take a risk, you're going to have some scars along the way. Status, having a very important job, give thanks to God, absolutely. Stuff, great, you know, if you're able to own real estate in Sydney, give thanks to God, it's awesome. Shape, look after yourself, go to bed early, eat well, exercise. It's good. No problems with that. Like Paul, he belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. He's not rubbishing the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin's a good tribe to belong to. It's like belonging to Australia. It's good to belong to Australia. But compared to Jesus, he's saying, don't put your confidence in these things of the flesh. That's what he's saying. So what about you guys? Where do you feel the temptation of placing your confidence? I would say to you, it's good. Enjoy what God gives you to a level, but don't put it in that over and above Jesus. Jesus is where we put our confidence as his people. So let's go to the yes. The next screen. Yes. Thinking. Think. There we go. Put your confidence in Jesus. So Jesus. Passage says we rejoice in Jesus. Say it again. Paul often says it in the book of Philippians, rejoice. In fact, the book of Philippians, the word rejoice is mentioned the most in this book out of all the books in the Bible. I think it's like 7 to 9 times. He mentions rejoice the most. Rejoice in the Lord, he says. Verse 1. He says, say it again. He keeps saying it. He says, Jesus is your safeguard. Watch out for those in the world. In his world, it was circumcision. But to us, watch out for those in the world who will tell you, put your confidence elsewhere. Watch out for those guys. Serve Jesus. He says, boast in Jesus. Boasting is good when it's in Jesus. So you can see, if you're boasting in Jesus, you're relying on Jesus, you're finding your joy in Jesus. Consider everything else a loss compared to Jesus. Give thanks for it, but consider it a loss compared to Jesus. So how's it going? Particularly when you're facing life's challenges, life seems out of control. You say, I'm a sinner, I'm not perfect. Who are you relying on? Who am I relying on? Where's our confidence? Who's going to deliver us? Yeah, we're going to go through trials, but who's going to get us through to the very end? We are called to put our confidence not in things of the flesh, but in Jesus. How's it going? Putting our confidence in Jesus also means that we'll need to, at times, take risks in life. Putting our confidence in Jesus means there's going to be times where we need to say, you know, I've put my confidence in Jesus. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. I'm going to step up in church and I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve music. I'm going to serve with the kids. I'm going to serve a youth group. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to be a witness at work. I'm going to be a witness in the family. I'm going to be far from perfect. I'm going to make lots of mistakes along the way. And I'm going to be very careful about how I do things, etc. But I'm going to take a risk because my confidence is in Jesus. It's taking a risk. Maybe sometimes the Christian life can be a bit boring. Feels a bit boring. Take a risk for Jesus somewhere. Talk to somebody. Maybe some of you young guys, young adults, you know, maybe there'll be an opportunity to do a short-term mission somewhere. Or have a conversation at work or at high school, have a conversation. Take a risk. Our confidence is in Jesus, so step out in faith. When you take a risk, it seems to tackle the problem of boredom. Just do something different. As we put our confidence in Jesus. You know, God gives lots of gifts, but the most important thing of all is being found in Jesus, His righteousness. So in verse 10, as we put our confidence in Jesus, Paul says this, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection. We think, oh, wait there, Paul, you're an apostle. Don't you already know the power of His resurrection? Yeah, but there seems to be more to know. And then he continues, and the participation in His sufferings. And so that just means that Jesus died to the world. And so we too will not experience heaven on earth. We too, as believers, will face life's challenges until we spend eternity with Him. We're going to participate in a broken world, in a world that rejects Jesus, is often going to reject the believer. That's just the reality of life. But there's the power of the resurrection. Know the power. There is a future. There is an eternity. We put our confidence in Jesus. You know, last Sunday, around the time of the Mandarin service at 11:15, I was out the front. I was talking to a friend out the front of church. And there was this lady on a bicycle, a Chinese lady, Chinese heritage lady, on a bicycle. And I noticed she kept riding up and down the pathway out the front of church, okay? Kept riding, you know, one way, and then on the way back, she'd stop at the gate she'd sort of look in. I didn't recognise her. She looked in, and then she'd keep going. And then she turned around the bottom, and then she came back. She looked in, and then she kept going. And then she did that about three times, and then I turned to my friend, and it occurred to me, I thought, why don't I just, I'm too busy having a lovely conversation. Why don't I invite her in? I said to my friend, if she comes back, I said, you do it, or I said, I'll do it. Let's invite her in, words to that effect. Let's invite her into church. But then she didn't come back. She disappeared. And it got me thinking, maybe to come in, to rise up the stairs, to darken the door of a church building, to enter and be amongst God's people, what do you need? You need confidence, don't you? Confidence. God has given us confidence to be amongst his people, and this confidence is grounded in the resurrected Christ, the power of Jesus. I felt like a fool. I should have invited her. I was too busy thinking about my own things, and I see her again, or I invite her into church, but to be amongst God's people, we need confidence, and Jesus gives us that confidence. And picture another story, and I'll end with this, of a lady called Laura, an Instagram influencer, a celebrity, filled with self-confidence, body covered with tattoos, really cool, yeah? Top of the pops. Very popular. Macro influencer. So I think a macro influencer is 500,000 to a million views, subscribers. Owns all the stuff because of product endorsement across social media. Owns so much stuff. Attractive. Be an Instagram influencer or an influencer across social media, you've got to be attractive. You've got to be shapely. All that. But then she got older. And then she said something on her platform that upset a lot of people. And then she lost it all. You know, that happens a lot. I was reading about that recently. In the news media about how that happens, where you say the wrong thing, you can lose it all. But the good news is, she put her confidence in Jesus, and now she knows that she might lose these temporary things, but Jesus will never let her down, regardless of what happens to her in life or in death, because of his resurrection and the power of his resurrection, he will never let her down. So she puts her confidence, as many do, as many of us do, in Jesus.